Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
I'm great. I don't hear an echo this week.
Yeah, it's crazy how that works. I am back in the beautiful city of Orlando for good, you know, in quotation marks, meaning I will leave the city occasionally to do things, but I'm living here and hopefully will for quite some time. In my house, married.
Unless there's a lot of money involved.
Yeah. It would have to be a lot of money, and I don't think that's going to happen. I have a lot of cupcakes. Matt's going to help me work on those later today. But yeah, things are good. Right, Matt? Good.
Uh-huh. Unlike poor Herb.
Hey, it all works out for Horb. It all works out for Horb in the end. Can't talk. For you this week's episode, please remind you guys, rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. Really helps us out. Just take a few moments, give us a rating, send a few kind words if you like us, and we appreciate it. It warms our hearts.
We all the way home.
In other news, Simpsons Reddit gift exchange is active at the moment. I've had varying results with the Reddit gift exchanges, so I'm probably going to just sit it out. But your results may vary. A lot of people have had a very good experience. I've just been burned, I think, too many times. Are you going to do it, Matt? Are you going to participate?
I am not. I have eschewed all physical things, and therefore the gift exchanges, meh.
All physical things.
Yes, yes. Well, okay, maybe not all physical things.
So but, if I just happen, and whatnot. Oh, so if I happen to like just present you with a copy of the 5th edition Monster Manual, you would not, you'd say, no, thank you, I don't want that?
Well, that's special. That I have to be able to look up things really quickly, you know.
Oh, okay. I see how it is. As soon as I start throwing Monster Manuals around, Matt's opinion changes. On to this week's episode. This week, we are doing Brother, Can You Spare Two Dimes? Episode 8, F23, originally aired August 27th, 1992. Yes, August. Another weird middle of summer episode. They did this at the end of season 2 with Blood Feud. They did it again with this episode. It's a little odd, and it certainly didn't help the ratings. The ratings were, I think this is the lowest rated episode of this season. I don't think many people are expecting to watch a Simpsons episode in August. You know,
apparently it did pretty well anyway.
Yeah, it did all right. And compared to the other episodes of the season, not so great. Let's see. Speaking of that, finished Nielsen rating of 10.7, approximately 9.76 million viewing households. Second highest rated show on Fox that week, following the 44th Primetime Emmy Awards, which that's pretty funny because they make fun of the Emmys in this episode. I'm not sure if they knew they'd be airing around the Emmys, but who knows? The chalkboard gag, I will not fake seizures. Probably a good idea.
Yeah, you never want to fake seizures. The whole boy who cried wolf thing. I mean, that's going to bite Bart pretty soon, I believe.
That's true. Literally bite him.
Wolves are funny.
Wolves are hilarious. Couch gag, the family cartwheels onto the couch. It's fine.
It's all right.
Yes.
It's new, I believe, so that's good.
Yeah, it's not bad. I'm waiting for more Space Mutants, but, you know, till we get there. The episode begins with the Homer and all his work buddies. Yeah.
Co-workers
is a good, that's a word I should use. Co-workers getting plant physicals. Lenny's naked. Apparently he doesn't wear underwear on generally unless he has to go take a physical. But what we find out from these physicals is that Homer is now sterile from working in a nuclear power plant.
Yes, his sperm are lethargic and kind of stupid compared to Smithers' sperm, who apparently just, you know, they swim in formation all the time really quickly.
Yes. Homer also happened to eat in the tank. Well, I don't think most physicals give you a immersion test for body fat percentage.
Probably not anymore, but maybe they're really going for, like, how fat are our employees? Apparently pretty fat.
Yeah, 104% for Homer if you're keeping track at home. Because Homer is completely sterile, Burns and company are, you know, they sense a lawsuit coming. They want to cut that off the pass. We get a scene of Burns yelling at his lawyers, which, considering how much he uses them and the nefarious things he uses them for, a little hypocritical.
just a little bit. But, you know, they thrive on pain and misery. But he's not above offering them coffee because, you know, he's a decent human being.
I can't ever really be upset about angry. Like, that yelling Burns voice, I really like it. So
that's true. He sounds practically like insane at that point.
Yeah, I always like it when Harris Shearer takes that Burns to that kind of angry, that rage. At this point, we cut to Herb, Homer's long lost brother, half brother, and he is living as a hobo, and he tells his story to his hobo friends, including Charlie Chaplin is there, just hanging out.
Yeah, oh, wait, I used to be rich. I owned Mickey Mouse massage parlors. And those Disney sleazeballs shut me down. I said, look, I'll change the logo, put Mickey's pants back on. Some guys you just can't reason with.
Well, I used to own a successful car company. My strategy was giving them Japanese names. You guys ever drive a tempura hatchback?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I got hit by one of those.
Yeah, life was sweet. Then I found out I had a long-lost half-brother.
So.
Oh, good old tempuras. I love those. They taste great.
Herb is, I guess, holding a little bit of a grudge towards Homer, even though I still can't really blame Homer for what... I mean, he did what he was supposed to do. He did what he was told by Herb.
That's true. It's really Herb's fault that whole thing happened, just because he's like, here, design a car. It's great. It'll be fine. And he was not even paying attention. I mean, if he had spent even like 30 seconds looking at the actual design instead of spending time with the family, he would have known. So it's his fault, not Homer's.
Exactly. We see Bart and Lisa doing taking part in the Living Room Olympics with Bart trying to pole vault the couch. I don't give, I guess, Olympic commentators enough credit. That's really hard to say. And he lands squarely on it, and it falls apart at the seams. Homer rushes in, completely upset, despondent. I love it that Lisa backs up Bart's story here.
She backs it really quickly, too. It's like she just takes the cue from Bart and is immediately, oh, yes, yes, absolutely. He's completely right, and then expounds upon it. They've obviously had a lot of practice at that.
Yeah, I always like it when the Bart and Lisa just are symbiotic, and they partner up against the parents. You know, they're both the kids. Homer flashes back to all his couch memories, which are basically him watching Dallas and, Hands Across America was going on, and then there was one more thing. Remember, Matt, what the third thing was? I always forget the third thing, it seems.
Yeah, me too. I cannot remember for the life of me.
It doesn't matter. We do see him gain weight and lose hair. Flanders has a pop collar because he's really cool. We cut back to Herb. He was talking, when he's talking to the bums earlier, He goes on to talk about how all he needs is an idea, and this is America, and you can do it as long as you have that idea, and then you can do anything. And then the bums are like, well, only an idea. He's like, well, an idea and some money to get it off the ground. And we see him on a park bench trying to brainstorm.
I need an idea. 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 What's the matter with me? I used to have hundreds of ideas.
What do you want? I just changed your diaper. Are you hungry? Are you cold? Do you want to go home?
Lady, you just gave me the idea of a lifetime. How do I thank you?
Please don't hurt me.
Consider it done.
Yes, Herb the scary hobo just runs up to some lady and accosts her. Cat in the way.
Oh no.
But he has an idea. At the same time, Burns has decided to take his lawyer's advice and offer Homer a buyout. Just throw a big check in his face and make him sign the piece of paper that will give him what's the term for it, Matt, when you can't sue somebody?
Liability.
Yeah. And Homer almost does it, but he doesn't quite. He shows some actual intelligence here and doesn't just sign it away. He does, however, is willing to sign after Burns has told him that he's won an award
explains that you've won, yes, that's it, won the first annual Montgomery Burns Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence.
That is some quality improv there, Mr. Burns. Good job.
Yeah, he got it. We cut straight away to the big song and dance award show that Homer is getting so that he won't sue Mr. Burns, including Smokin' Joe Frazier shows up and presents Homer with the award. This is where we get the Emmy, the joke at the expense of the Emmys. And it cut a commercial right when he falls, after he falls?
Yes.
Right? Yeah, he receives the award and falls off the balcony. And that we cut to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Homer at Moe's drinking away his sorrows with good old Smokin' Joe Frazier, who has apparently cleaned Moe out of pickles.
What's the matter, Homer? Come up on too tight.
I miss my couch.
I know how you feel. You lost the couch. I lost the heavyweight championship.
Heavyweight championship? There's like three of those. That couch was one of a kind.
Homer, I know things are tough now. But one day you'll be walking along and you'll see a piece of furniture you can love just as much.
Hey, Frazier, shut up!
Ronnie, you've been riding my back all night.
Oh, yeah? Can I step outside?
Let's do it.
I think I'm going to take a walk. All right, a peanut!
And then we learn that despite his age, Smokin' Joe Frazier can still kick the crap out of Barney. Man. We also learned that Homer, despite the award he won and the money, is still despondent at the loss of his couch. We then cut from Homer being sad to Herb, where he's talking to the other bums about his idea. And he's like, oh, yeah, I get this great idea. And the guys say, well, why are you still a bum? And at this point, he's like, well, I need an idea and money to get it off the ground. He then sees a newspaper where they have a picture and a headline of Homer winning the award, including how much money he got, which seems a little weird, but hey, it's Springfield. It also includes a picture of him falling off the balcony, which is very important. So Herb, being the industrious individual, decides he's going to go visit Homer and see if he can get Homer to invest. So he hops a train to Springfield, very intelligently not hopping on the toxic waste car, the car with the lions, but he instead waits for the fluffy pillow, which seems like a pretty good decision on his end. We then see Homer back looking around for what he can spend his money on and a replacement for the couch. He's alone and couchless, as he tells us, and he finds a chair, an amazing chair that has all kinds of massage rollers throughout the whole thing. And it sends him on a great journey. It's basically a visual gag based on 2001 A Space Odyssey, where he basically just melts into the chair and his vision begins to fade and pull back into a kind of like a hyperspace from Star Wars or a warp speed from Star Trek kind of thing. And afterwards, Homer knows. Exactly. That's actually a really good representation of that, of the sound that it makes. And afterward, Homer has had a revelation.
I'll take it.
This chair is $2,000. We could buy a whole living room set for that.
Marge, there's an empty spot I've always had inside me. I tried to fill it with family, religion, community service, but those were dead ends. I think this chair is the answer.
This money was a blessing. We can't just spend it on some creature comfort.
All right, we won't get the chair. Now excuse me while I kiss the sky.
Oh, Homer and your Jimi Hendrix references.
He's the right age for him.
That's true, he is. We cut then to Herb, who has arrived on the Simpsons Street, and when he picks a choice between what house to go to, between the Simpsons yard, where the house is unkempt, and the yard has a whole bunch of crap in it, and then the perfectly manicured Flanders house, for some reason he goes to the Flanders house, which tells me he really doesn't know anything about his brother and his family. Luckily, it is the Flanders' tithe day, where they will be more than happy to take in a transient to clean him up, anoint the sores on his feet, and give him a suit and a haircut, because that's who the Flanders are. I feel like this is kind of the beginning of the Flanders morphing into the super Christians rather than the perfect neighbor kind of thing. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're getting to that. We've seen it here and there, but this is the first time full on. Like, this is a like mission. This is missionary work, basically. Like, that's what they're doing. Except, you know, they're just doing it for people in America. So, and full on, you know, obviously the references to people washing Christ's feet and all that stuff. So you can see the transition happen.
Yeah, good thing for them that Herb is not some kind of is not a stabbing hobo. He's kind of a singing hobo.
Yeah, that's the best I could do.
Well, A for effort, definitely an A for effort.
Thank you, appreciate that, man.
As Herb is walking away with the new suit and the Flanders are offering him their bed, they began singing Onward Christian Soldiers, which brought back a lot of memories of childhood. And Herb goes next door, where he has learned that Homer lives, and knocks on the door. We see Homer on the still broken couch, which is they're continuing to use because I guess they haven't got anything better yet. And of course, Homer is annoyed by the singing, but he hears the knock on the door. And as soon as he opens the door, Herb punches him right in the face. Like we said, it was Herb's fault in the first place, but I can kind of see where he'd be mad. It's like, I never dreamed my brother could be this stupid.
Well, my favorite is just Herb. It's like, I don't know what do I say? What do I do? And just like, bah! Perfect.
Exactly. Of course, the rest of the family is super excited to see Unky Herb, and Herb is ecstatic to see them. He says he can't apologize to Homer because he still blames him for what happened to him. Again, not Homer's fault, really, but hey. Of course, they sit down to dinner, and everyone asks Herb where he's been. I love Bart's response. As a man who will someday become a bum, what advice would you have? And apparently, discarded pizza boxes are an inexpensive source of cheese. So, you know, if you're out there at night drunk and you want a snack, that's also good advice.
If you're leaving behind boxes, you're leaving the cheese behind in those boxes, you are not a good enough pizza eater. You need to make sure you take off that cheese because that is a valuable resource.
Exactly. Lisa is, of course, distressed that Herb has not contacted them since they last saw him. But Herb makes a good point. What was he supposed to say? Last night I used a rat for a pillow, thanks to your pop. Which, to be honest, yeah, it will be nice to know he's alive, however. We then see Herb put Maggie to bed. And, of course, his idea is something to do with babies is all we know at this point. So he sings to her the Powell Motors song and tells her that Maggie is going to make him rich again, which, okay. We then see the Simpsons and Herb playing Monopoly. And, of course, Herb goes bankrupt thanks to Lisa's, you know, burgeoning business sense. Homer, again, insults Herb about money and Herb punches him in the face. You know, completely justified this time because Homer's a jerk. And of course, Marge says, well, why don't we play something else? And Bart says, well, why are we playing this game? We've got $2,000 in the bank. And then we learn about all of their different plans for the money.
Why are we playing games when we got $2,000 in the bank? Remember when Dad won the first annual Montgomery Burns Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence?
Well, I think we should invest in a set of the great books of Western civilization. Look at this ad from New Republic for Kids. Each month, a new classic will be delivered to our door. Paradise Regained, Martin Chuzzlewit, or Herman Melville's twin classics, Omo and Typee.
Wait, Marge, didn't you want to spend that money on a vibrating chair?
That was your idea.
I think we should get a machine gun. We could use it to hunt games, spell out things, or ring in the new year.
Well, I really think we need to replace the washer and dryer.
How would you like to spend $2,000 to give a broken man a second chance?
Nah.
I love Homer's response at the end there. Nah.
The washing, I need more washer and dryer erasers in my life, I've decided.
That's true. I've never seen some that were quite that bad, but maybe if you put a rock in or something, got them off balance, you can get them to do that. I also, you were the literature major, so is it just me or do the books that Lisa mentioned, they're terrible and definitely not classics of Western civilization?
I think that's the point, Matt. I think you're
okay. I just wanted to make sure because I'm like, Herman Melville's, I've heard those are terrible books. Why would she mention those? And then later she mentions Ethan Frome, and it was pretty obvious what happened there.
It's, you know, it depends on who you ask. They're not bad, quote unquote. They're canon.
Ethan Frome is terrible. Okay,
it's a reason. It's there. I can see that series existing, even if you don't necessarily enjoy the books, because they're important canonically in literature.
I suppose. But, you know, Bart, of course, wants a machine gun, which, you know, don't we all? You know, it's fun to spell out things with machine guns. Nothing bad ever happens there.
Never.
No. Herb gives Homer a 20-minute presentation, to which Homer is despondent about 20 minutes. He makes the example of a drinking bird as something carefully marketed can be a wondrous thing. And, of course, Homer is, you know, thinking he invented the drinking bird because Homer's an idiot. Said it again. Herb's idea, which I don't understand really why he's using the drinking bird, because the drinking bird is just goofy application of physics. Herb's invention is literally game changing. Of course, his blueprints don't fit with Homer's imagination, who just sees another drinking bird. Everyone luckily takes Herb's side and says, oh, you know, some shyster is going to bilk you out of your money. You might as well be your brother.
True.
Yeah. And of course, pretty much everyone is on Herb's side, and Homer tells him, yeah, okay, I'll give you the money, but you have to forgive me and treat me like a brother. To which Herb, who is still holding a grudge, says, nope. And Homer says, fine, just give me the drinking bird. And with that, we cut to a commercial.
And when we come back, Herb is doing research, basically, on how you would make a baby translator. I think I like every single one of these. Like, I didn't grab every single one, but I love the little gibberish and then Herb's response.
Let's see. What could you be trying to say?
I am.
Nothing downstairs.
Bad.
You just took a nap.
I want to suck your nose.
Booga, 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 booga. I'm scared. The amplitude of the sine wave is insufficient for burp me. And this sawtooth formation is something I've never... Eureka.
It's just... You don't get enough Maggie, really. We never get enough Maggie. And when they use her in this way, it's really, like, as an actual baby. It's really great. And her just happiness and joy and laughing and all that is compared with, like, Danny DeVito's. He does, like, he's really doing a very serious performance right now in this part of the show, in this part of this episode, and it's great every time. Eventually, he has put together his invention, and he wants to show it off for the family.
Now, I bet you're all wondering what lies under this sheet.
Not really. We peeked inside while you were in the John.
Oh. Well, here it is again. My baby translator.
Whoa!
Marge, you don't have to humor me.
Well, it's pretty ingrained.
What do you think, Homer?
Herb, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I can't believe we blew 2,000 bucks on it when right now rollers could be kneading my buttocks.
Homer, could you stop thinking about your ass?
I try, but I can't.
Lavish attention on me and entertain me.
Maggie, you talked!
You see? It tells you exactly what's on the baby's mind.
Maggie! Maggie! Whatever.
Where did you go?
Peekaboo!
Oh, there you are. Very amusing.
I love all of the things, because obviously it speaks in Herb's voice, and everything he says is just so deadpan. It's wonderful comedy.
That's the best thing, yeah. It's just him just deadpanning baby. Maggie's so happy. How amusing. So Herb takes his rather... I don't know. It looks terrible. Like, the form factor on that, he needs to take that to Apple and have them put some smooth rounded rectangles on that to make it look better. But he takes it to a baby convention? Are those things? We have baby... They have baby?
They have conventions for everything, so okay. I'm sure.
Okay, I'm sure there are baby. I don't have a baby, so I can't judge. He shows it off. Immediately, it strikes a chord with everyone there, as it should, because it's, like, unbelievably groundbreaking that they could figure out what voice analysis of babies.
Well, with, like you said, with that prototype he has there, it's literally a speaker connected to nothing, really.
There's a little microphone there hanging above the oscilloscope.
Yeah, a little microphone, a little oscilloscope. I'm pretty sure you need a little bit more than that for anything you require, anything that might be a baby translator.
Maybe processing power of some sort, Matt? Is that what you're trying to allude to?
Yeah.
Even how the fact that we just got to a point where like it, our phones can like listen to us and understand us in a very basic level.
That's true. I actually feel like a baby translator would be a little bit easier because all it really has to look at is the pitch and urgency and things like that. It doesn't have to actually understand the language. So it would probably be easier, but getting the kind of translations Herb is getting,
And the fact that babies really aren't saying things for the most part. They listen to pitch and urgency of voice, but that you're not even, that could be one of a million things, but we're having a drill in the Mountain Rushmore moment right now, Matt. finally, so Herb, at the baby convention, gets an offer from a big baby company, I guess.
Of course.
For lots and lots of, a huge order, 50,000 of these things, which that would take a long time to set up the infrastructure necessary to make 50,000 of them and deliver them. But regardless, it does get him a lot of money, so he's rich again. So he goes back to Simpsons and buys them each a gift. Lisa gets a subscription to the Great Books of Western Civilization. Bart gets a membership to the NRA. He buys Marge a new,
new washer and dryer.
New washer and dryer. That's right, because the ones that are racing, and Homer wants to know what he's going to get, and Herb takes him aside and tells him what he gets.
What do I get? What do I get? It's not another punch in the face, is it? Because if it is, I don't want it.
This is what you get, Homer. I forgive you. You can call me brother, and I can do the same.
That's it?
That's it.
I see your point, brother.
Give me a hug, brother.
All right, but I never really hugged a man before.
Homer, I bought you the damn chair. That's enough. All right, get out of here.
And that's how the episode ends. From what I've read, the ending is a complete reaction to the ending of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, because it had a sad ending and people didn't like that apparently. So they went, well, we'll bring him back and we'll give him the happy ending. He'll be rich. Homer will get a chair. Everything will be perfectly,
And we'll never see him again.
That's true. I think doesn't he show up in the background another time? But I thought he shows up one more time.
Probably, but I mean, like you said, it's in the background. You don't actually talk to him or anything.
Yeah, he's in, you hear his answering machine message in The Changing of the Guardian in season 24.
Oh, of course, yes.
So he has one very brief moment again. But Danny Vito does a great job in this episode. It's a really solid, really funny. It was a little, the pacing is a little weird. Like, it felt like the acts were very, like, weirdly structured. Like, the first and second acts are really, really long, and the third act is very short.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it felt strange.
Yeah, the second act, I feel like it should maybe end when Herb gets there. I feel like there wasn't a good place in all of that to cut between act two and act three, so they just kind of picked somewhere and said, we'll go with it.
Yeah, but despite that, I mean, everything else is pretty good. There's a couple different plots they're juggling that both they end up relating. You know, that we get Herb separately and Homer dealing with Mr. Burns and his sterility, and you know, and they really connect them in a fun way. Despite the weird acting, I think it's a good solid episode. It's funny as Danny DeVito does a good job.
Absolutely,
but yeah, we'll rank it at the end of the show. Next up, remind you guys, please keep sending in my favorite episode submissions. Simply send them to simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com, explaining why any particular episode is your favorite, and we will read it on the air when we get to that episode. Comments from the news group. A couple of very nerdy things, as you would expect from people who are commenting on the internet in 1992. Let's see, I just finished reading Tom Robbins' Jitterbug Perfume. I was amused more than was intended when I read how the god Pan called all humans homers, with the surviving group god secretly called mortals, a disparaging term taken from the name of the so-called bard who had spread so many lies about them. So we're all homers. So we're not muggles, Matt, we're homers.
That works for me. Yeah. It sounds better anyway.
Yeah. Also, apparently some guy was at, he wanted some actual Simpsons fans to comment about, he's he was writing a paper about the Simpsons. He's a sociologist. Is that a
sure?
And then they had a discussion about philosophers and sociologists and people's opinions on things, and they were very riled about that. I thought it was very funny just how like three people in this weird little news group knew enough about this subject to argue about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, other than that, general same things. Always people saying every episode they see is the worst. Every time, it doesn't matter what episode it is, everyone's like, this is the worst. This is terrible. It's kind of rote by now. You guys can check out this. It's on Google Groups, alt.tv.simpsons, old Simpsons news group postings. Comic book guy, heavily influenced from his all these people and their comments. On to our listener question of the week. What is your favorite Milhouse moment? Great responses, as always. You guys always do a great job. From Twitter, we have Stephanie at fan225. Then why did I have the bowl, Bart? Why did I have the bowl? I say this whenever I possibly can. John at ChapelStyle311. I wish I could answer, but I couldn't hear the question. They had to pack my ears full of gauze. Hashtag nobody likes Milhouse.
Aww.
I know. Philip at Lyles Philip. Lemon of Troy when he meets the other Milhouse. So this is what it feels like when doves cry. we have Matt at Chami. Skinner. Milhouse, lower those eyebrows. And the other one. And we have Matt at Matt Henshaw 11. When are they going to get to the fireworks factory? Itching, scratching, poochie.
Of course.
On Facebook, we have Daniel. Practically every time he does anything in the summer of 4'2", she looks like Blossom. Oh boy, a carnival. And mistaking a horseshoe crab for a dog.
Poor Mel. Hey, it's the dud. Hey, that's you, Poindexter. You're the dud.
Jordan, this is the best game ever, and all I did was enter my name. Hashtag thrill ho. we have Michael, who included a picture of Bart's cast, and says, this gets me every time, LOL. Millpool. Brian Thrillhouse, it's appropriate. While Thrillhouse seems like the obvious answer due to my fake Facebook last name, I have to go with everything's coming up Milhouse. Nothing makes me smile more than watching poor Milhouse, whose bedroom is flooding, find the silver lining. Hey, they're working. My feet are soaked, but my cuffs are bone dry. Everything's coming up Milhouse. And finally, we have Abby from Canine Mutiny, the aforementioned. Remember when your dog ate my goldfish and then you lied and said I didn't have a goldfish? Then why did I have the bowl, Bart? Why did I have the bowl? I like this because it perfectly sums up the Bart Milhouse dynamic. Bart can walk all over him. He still hangs around. It's like he wants to believe Bart's lame explanations. It's very true. The Bart Milhouse dynamic, beautiful. Matt, your answer.
I am actually going to have to go with Lisa's date with Density, mainly because Milhouse delivers the note to Nelson and gets a massive pounding for it because, you know, that's what Nelson would do. And then at the end, when Lisa tells Milhouse that her and Nelson aren't together anymore, he jumps in the air and chokes the poor little dog. And
they do, don't they? They do a freeze frame, right, with him in the air.
They absolutely do.
Yeah,
it is
course.
A great. It's basically Milhouse essentially. It's you know, it's him having, you know, the most optimistic view possible, even though
the situation is incredibly terrible.
Yep.
Mine is you called it out earlier, Matt, the Poindexter, that when they're playing that mystery date game, that terrible war game at the beach, and Milhouse and Bart are playing it, and Milhouse is the Poindexter. Hey, it looks just like you. Oh, so good. That whole episode's great, and I just love that Milhouse just is tagging along. Oh, it's so good. Next week's question. We're at the last. This is our last episode of season 3, guys. So next week's question: what is your favorite moment from season 3? There's a lot of really good ones. It's gonna be tough to pick, but I'm leaving. Just looking behind us, and we're seeing season 3 fade away into the distance. I'm gonna commemorate it with one last question. Post this on all our social media. It'll be on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. It's on Twitter at SimpsonsShowPod. And you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. So, listener comments. Listener question behind us. It is now time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T.
I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each bring three questions, one easy, one medium, one hard, try and stump one another with some Simpsons trivia. This week, I got married yesterday, so I'm sure some of you guys, I'm sure we have theme suggestions. I was been too busy to really compile much of anything, so we just kind of went and did our own thing. Matt, give me an easy question.
All right, this one, actually, you don't really have to know that much about The Simpsons to really get this one. In Homer versus the 18th Amendment, what was banned in Springfield?
Alcohol.
That is correct. The 18th Amendment, the start of Prohibition, alcohol was banned. And apparently, old guy who read the town register said, oh, I'm only going to unroll a little bit at a time. All right. Anyway, Robbie, your easy question.
Who has made the most guest appearances in the history of the show?
That really depends on who we're considering a guest, doesn't it?
He was, I just gave you a big hint. He was, we considered him in our previous listener question about the best guest.
I'm going to have to guess Phil Hartman.
You are correct. Yes. He's far, okay, good. Far and away the most, over 50. With
thank goodness.
With, I think, Frank Welker and who else? Who's this? Kelsey Grammer's up there. John Lovitz as well. He's done a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Hit me with a medium one, Matt. Come on.
All right, your medium question. In A Milhouse Divided, what was the name of Kurt's demo type?
Demo type. Got Southern accent current creeping in there, Matthew.
Well, yeah. But you're just stalling. What was the answer?
I am not stalling. Can I borrow a feeling?
That is correct. Can I borrow a feeling?
We do not
actually worse than that, just so you know.
It was pretty bad.
All right.
Okay, this is a multiple choice question. Sort of. There's multiple right answers. How about that?
Fair enough.
Name one of the three guest stars, who have won an Emmy for their performance.
Oh, man.
Any of the three.
I'm going to say Kelsey Grammer.
You hedging your bets there. You got it right. That's right. He is one of the
okay,
three.
Okay, good.
It was Kelsey Grammer.
I'm assuming Phil Hartman?
No, Phil Hartman never did.
No!
He should have. And so should have. Frankly, so should. Why can't I think?
John Lovitz?
No, not John Lovitz. Hank Scorpio. Why can't I think of his name? Why can't I think of his name? I can see his face.
Brain dying.
I'm so angry that I can't think of his name.
I have no idea.
Albert Brooks.
Oh, of course.
Frankly, Albert Brooks should have won one for one of his guest appearances as well. But the other two were Jackie Mason and Anne Hathaway. Anne Hathaway is the wild card there. Not expecting that one.
Yeah, who was she?
She was played a girlfriend of Bart's in what's the good, the bad, and the drugly or something. I believe that's the name of it. That's the name of the episode. Later on,
I really got to go back and watch like seasons 15 on again because I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. So you got it right, Matt. That's the reason I gave you. You could name it any of the three because I figure you could guess it. You could get guess into Kelsey Grammer. Give me the hard question. I can do it. I know I can do it.
All right, I'm pretty sure you're going to get this one, but it's kind of obscure. So, in Hurricane Nettie, what was the name of the program young Ned was sent to control his anger?
I'm fairly certain I've asked you this question in this segment.
You might have. I should really get on that whole writing down the old questions thing.
I believe it, the Minnesota Spankological Protocol? It's something like
that. That is correct.
Okay. Yeah. Hurricane Nettie is probably one of my top 10 favorite episodes. So, yeah.
The question actually is, do you know the theme of all of these questions?
Oh, let's see. You had Hurricane Nettie. You had Homer and the 18th Amendment. You had A Milhouse Divided. Your favorite episodes, Matt? I don't know.
No, they're all from season 8. Okay. I figured grabbing from your favorite season would be the best way to collect them all together.
If you want me to get them right, then yes, asking from my favorite season would be the thing to do.
Next week, season 22.
Not so good. Yeah, I guess I'm going to do some studying this week. This is a very difficult question. No bones about it, Matt, but I think you're up to the task. I think you could maybe do it. Ooh. Who are the two guest stars who have writing credits in the episodes they have appeared in?
Maybe Michael Jackson?
Nope.
Maybe a little bit? Nope.
He didn't actually officially credit it.
Oh, wasn't one of them Canseco from Homer at the Bat?
He was not officially credited. You have to be in the writing credits.
I got nothing on this one.
Ricky Gervais, And Seth and Seth Rogen.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah,
that makes sense. Yes, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so Matt, I've got a couple questions from our listeners. I'm gonna throw at you.
Okay.
I'll give you. Let's see. A couple of these. This one's from Abby. She sent us her spreadsheet, her document from her trivia night. I'll give you a Milhouse question. How much did Milhouse pay for Bart's soul?
I want to say $5.
You are correct.
Yes, and he bought the what were those little toys that you got them wet and they got big?
Those are not toys. Calling that a toy would imply that they're fun.
Okay, good points.
they're novelty that are the worst things in the world. Who is, this is also from Abby, who is the very quiet boy who enjoys puzzles, which Lisa reveals she has a crush on at season 7?
Langdon Alder, I believe.
You're correct.
Not sure if I'm getting the pronunciation right.
You're close. I give you, you're close enough. Okay, finally, this question is from Rob, Rattrap 007. He wants to go a little bit easier on you. That's what he said in his email.
Okay, well, that's good.
That is good. So, what is Mr. Burns' social security number?
Not two.
You missed a not in there, but I'll give it to you anyway.
I missed a not, damn it.
It's fine. You're still fine. And, okay, I'll give you one more from Rob. I really like this question. In Lisa's date with Density, which you've mentioned in this episode, what car does Superintendent Chalmers buy?
A 1970-something Honda Accord.
You have 10 numbers, Matt. Give it a guess.
1 in 10 chance?
Yeah, 1 in 10 chance. Come on.
1974?
1979.
That was my second choice.
I'll give you a B minus on that answer.
No,
you got everything but this specific year. You get partial credit. But you guys keep sending questions. I'm sorry that I didn't use anybody's suggested theme. We still have a few in the queue, but I super busy, did not have much time to put together everything. This is very much let's do it. We can do it. It's hard work, but you know. Matt, Matt recorded the day after he got married. So I could not use that as an excuse.
That's true. We had to work him like a dog.
It was not nearly as much work as I did yesterday. But yeah, you guys keep sending those in to our email, to our social media, anywhere. I'll add them. I need to actually just break down it, put all that stuff in a nice spreadsheet, and, you know, delineate between what we've used, what we haven't used, put it all together. But it's a lot of work. Maybe in a few weeks I'll get it done. So Matt, you know we've done listener question, we've done trivia challenge. You know what time it is, right?
The scary part of the show.
I don't know why you're so afraid. No, don't be afraid.
Because I'm afraid to be wrong.
There's no such thing as wrong. We are universally correct in everything we say and do.
Fair enough. That's true.
It's time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is the part show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically so we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. This is a good one. I think the it's nice. I wouldn't say it's a great. It's solid. Is it better than the other Herb episode? I think that's a good place to start. Is it better than Oh Brother Where Art Thou, you think, Matt?
I'd have to say no. I mean,
really?
It's a good episode. It's got a lot of heart. There are a few jokes, but it's close. But I just feel like the whole Homer has a brother thing is kind of more interesting and fun. And the whole Homer, the car reveal at the end is just hilarious. And all the spoiling Herb does to the kids. This one, it's got some good moments, but I would have to say close, but not quite.
Not quite. Okay. Is it better? I was going to say it's better, but.
Really? Okay.
Just a little.
How much better?
Not very much better, because I've already said, we were discussing before we started recording, and I already said Blood Feud is better than it, so there's only five episodes. It's four episodes in between those two. Actually, three episodes in between those two, which are Homer Alone, Trieste of Horror 2, and Mr. Lisa Goes to Washington. I would probably put it behind Trieste of Horror number 2.
Yeah,
but
I could definitely see that.
I could go, it's, again, like, it's a solid episode. It's good. It's not great. It's not bad. It's funny. It is. The writing's pretty solid, you know, but I like the ending. The ending was really nice. You get to see Homer's sterile sperm vibrating.
Shaking.
Yeah. But
it's true.
I don't know. That's where I would, 29. It would be 29, right above Mr. Lisa Goes to Washington. I think
how about we compromise on 30?
On 30, right above Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Right above where,
right
above
where right. I think this is funnier than No Brother Art, though. I think that one had more character in this, but this one just they had established Herb, so they could just go straight to jokes.
It's true. Well, you know me, I'm an old softy.
I think we're both old softies.
That's true at this point.
I think that's good. Compromise is an important part of any relationship, Matt.
Absolutely.
So, new number 30. I love it that we just, let's just put it right next to it.
Yep.
Right next to the other one. So, both the episodes Danny DeVito's stars in are right next to each other. Right next to each other. So, it's new number 30, Brother, Can You Spare Two Dimes? Right above Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Right behind Mr. Lisa Goes to Washington. Lisa's Substitute, still number one, but we are about to embark on season 4, which...
Yeah.
Very great episode. Speaking of season 4, what's our next episode, Matt?
I believe, as the opener for season 4, it is Camp Krusty.
Camp Krusty. That's good. That's a good one. I know that.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's great. See where it goes. I'm excited. You can find this list on our website, simply thesimpsonsshow.com. You can find everything there. Links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, if you'd like to listen to us through that. Contact us, comment on the show, each episode, new episodes, downloadable streaming, of course, this list, and you can donate to the show if you like. I think we can call it a day with that. You can find me on Twitter at MixmasterSreal. It's MixmasterSreal. Check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, at handsomeboyscomicshour.com, iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
No, but I have begun experiments to begin to talk to the fish. I have this great new tutor. He only has one hand, but that doesn't stop him from talking to the fish. If you got a secret, whisper it to a fish, and eventually get to both of us, and maybe he'll help me translate it.
A tutor with one hand. Is this Zero Hour Aquaman?
It might be, with his nice mullet.
Does he have a hook that he shoots?
He does. You read that this week too, huh?
I did not read it, but I saw it, and I knew you did. But, yeah. Nerdy. God. This show could not get any nerdier. And I think we can call it a day. Until next time, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.